to Timothy. He says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Now listen to what he says. "Which is the church of the living God."
Right.
"The pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Will you help me pray again tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity, God, you've allowed us to come before you again tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace. Lord, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our hearts this week. Lord, thank you, Lord, for refreshing week. Thank you, Lord, for reviving week. Thank you, Lord, for stirring our souls the way that you have this week. Thank you, Lord, for every service. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet testimonies and all the good singing that we've heard this week, how it's blessed our hearts and encouraged us and, Lord, and helped us, Lord, this week. Lord, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, for just a little while, Lord, that you'd meet with us one more time. And, God, that you'd help your people, Lord, tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to be a help to them. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me to relay through my lips what you put on my heart and in my mind, Lord, this week. God, I pray, Lord, today, God, that you'd help me, Lord, to challenge the church tonight. Lord, that you'd help me, Lord, to encourage them. Lord, I pray, God, today that you bless Down East Baptist Church. I ask you, Lord, God, that you put a hedge about this place. Lord, that you bind every hindering spirit. God, that you drive every demon in hell back away from this place. And Lord, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that you'd rest upon these people. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd give them souls for their labor. I pray, God, that you'd grow them spiritually. God, that you'd grow them numerically. God, I pray for the man of God, Lord, as he mounts this pulpit, service after service. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd preach him like he's never preached before. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with his family. I pray, God, that you encourage them, help them. I pray, God, that you encourage his folks, Lord. I pray, God, revival would spread from out these walls and into these communities, God, and you would do a great work through this revival. Lord, again, Lord, we'll be careful, Lord, to bow worthy heads and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I want you to look with me in these verses tonight. And I'm interested in verse 15 mostly tonight, in verse 15. And we'll be looking at some other verses. I quoted that verse, Psalm 122, where David said, "I was glad when they said, let us go, when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." And I thought about the gladness of the church. Amen. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't consider it a burden. I don't consider it something that is hard for me to go to the house of God. I get up on Sunday morning. Matter of fact, I lay down on Saturday night anticipating getting to go to the house of God. Amen. On Sunday morning. Matter of fact, I get upset if I don't get to go to church.
You know, right.
I know what people say. They say, "Well, preacher, you're the preacher. You're the pastor." No, I'm a Christian first, and I love the Lord, and I love God's house. Amen?
Amen.
And I get help at the house of God.
Good
and
church.
I appreciate everything that God has done through the church in my life. I want us to look tonight at what it says in verse number 15. The Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Now, I do believe that Paul, I don't want to repeat myself, but if you'll go and you'll study 1st and 2nd Timothy, he will lay out for you everything you need to know doctrinally on how to be the right kind of church member.
Right.
It'll give you all the qualifications. It'll give you, and some of them you may not even like. I'll be honest with you, I don't like all of them, brother. There's some of the things in there. To be honest with you, I wish wasn't in there, but it doesn't change the fact that it is God's blessed holy word.
Right.
He's not going to change his word for me. me. He's not going to change His word for you.
Right.
He's not going to change His word for anyone else. But there He says, He said, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God. Friend, I'm telling you something tonight. I believe the church in a lot of places is misbehaving.
Yeah.
Now I know tonight that I'm preaching to the choir.
Come
I understand
preacher.
Tonight that I am preaching to a good church, a solid church. But I also want to warn you tonight that there is a multitude of places that are calling themselves churches. And friend, God ain't in a million miles of what they're doing.
Yep.
They're
Amen.
Having church, they're meeting and having church in the name of entertainment,
right.
In the name of show business,
yep.
And a lot of them are having church, they're worshiping a preacher, they're worshiping something
right.
else
Amen.
Besides the living God.
Amen.
And friend, I'm telling you something, God's going to sort that crowd out one of these days.
Yep. Amen.
He told them over in the Gospels, He said, let the tares grow with the wheat,
right.
And He'd do the sorting. Amen.
That's
I know that you that I wasn't quoting that word for word, but you understand what
yep.
I'm saying.
Amen.
And so the church is important to God. I'm telling you something, we ought to take church seriously.
Amen.
Tonight.
Yep.
Now I know, like I said last night, this is probably the youngest church that I've ever preached to as far as being an established church for
yep.
a short amount of time. And listen, church, you started off on the right path
yep.
and on the right foot. I want to encourage you to stay the course, stay the path that you're headed in.
Amen.
I learned some things last night. I've been noticing, been watching, and Brother Boyd was talking, and Brother Boyd's done a lot of studying about the eastern part of the
yep.
North Carolina, and I know your preacher's probably even done
yep.
shared a lot of that with you. But he was telling me last night that when you get down towards Swan Quarter, I didn't know this, when you get down towards Swan Quarter, there's a very historical church down there, and there was an Indian massacre in that there at that church.
Yeah.
And it's an historical place because actually a lot of the members was actually buried underneath that church.
Yeah.
And now it's pretty much just a historical place, and people stop and visit it along the way, and I'd like for us to stop and visit that
yeah.
if we take a youth trip. But Brother Boyd was telling me last night that sometime back in the Wesley days, the Charles and John Wesley days, that Charles Wesley came to the eastern part of North Carolina, down there around the coast, and he was going to have one of those Wesley revivals.
Yeah.
If you know anything about church history, you know that John and Charles Wesley were booming preachers. They were they would have like what we would call crusades today,
right.
And they would have big revivals. They didn't have tents, but they would pick a strategic places to have those meetings. They would get up against rock walls or something where their voices would carry. And they said they would be multitudes of people come from all over and listen to them preach, had the power of God on their lives. They said that he preached for a few days down there around Swan Quarter in that area, and they ran him off. They ran him out of Swan Quarter.
Yeah.
And as he was leaving, he turned around and cursed eastern North Carolina.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was all news to me. And all the way back to the camper last night, and while I was laying there last night, I didn't sleep much last night, to be honest with you, thinking about preaching tonight. And I thought, wouldn't it be something for a couple of churches down here in eastern North
Amen.
Carolina to get on fire for God.
Come on, preacher.
And reverse the curse.
Oh, yes.
And
come on,
I
preacher.
I just kept thinking about that. I might preach a message on that one of these days on reverse
yeah.
the curse.
Right. Amen.
But tonight, I want to preach preach on the significance of the sanctuary. Friend, when we realize how important the church is, not only to this nation, I've said this for years and years, as the home goes, so goes the church.
Right.
But as the church goes, so goes the nation.
Right.
Friend, I'm telling you something, and I apologize to the young people the other night. My generation has dropped the ball. The generation before me has dropped the ball. The generation after me dropped the ball. And friend, the church is not what she used to be.
Come on, preacher.
Well, no, let me change that. The church has always been what she's always been. But the Christians have not lived up to their end
right.
of the
Amen.
Deal.
Amen.
Yep. And friend, I'm telling you something. We have got weaker in our faith. We wavered upon what true worship is.
Right.
We've wavered upon sound doctrine.
Come on, preacher.
And we've moved out of the Word of God. We've moved out of the things that God directly told us to do and how to operate the church and how to behave ourselves in the church.
Right.
And friend, that never works in the house of God.
That's right. Amen.
God has an order of things. And if it's out of order, let me tell you something. The Bible says this, that God is not the author of confusion.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And when you get things out of order, it causes confusion.
Right.
And what we're having tonight in many places is confusion. And I'm glad,
that's
listen,
right.
You ought to be glad tonight that you have what you have, and you better protect what you have with everything that's in you.
Amen.
And I tell you tonight, I believe with all my heart, I believe I can say this with all my heart, that I would die for my church tonight.
Amen.
I would die for the opportunity, amen, if I had to, brother, just to know that my grandsons would have a solid church
right.
to go to, amen, that would stay the course.
Come on, preacher.
My greatest fear is for my children and my grandchildren to leave the faith. That
right.
is my greatest fear.
Yeah.
That's my greatest fear, preacher.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. I want my son, he got saved, said he got saved when he was 8 years old.
Yeah.
That's between him and the Lord. I ain't never told him he's saved.
Right.
Hey, man, hey, listen, don't
Amen.
Ever tell your children they're saved.
Right.
Hey, man, because you don't know.
That's
I've
right.
seen a lot of people get saved when they're young or thought they got saved when they're young, 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
Mom and daddy told them they're saved, and they thought they saved all the way up 20, 30 year old, and then realize
yeah.
they was lost
right.
and actually get born again then.
Yeah.
But what if they never really realized that?
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
I never told my son, they said, my grandsons, both of them have made professions of faith. One of them's 7, one of them's fixing to turn 9. And friend, I'm telling you something, they both made professions of faith. I ain't never told them they're saved.
Right.
Amen. I want them to know it. The Bible says to work out your own salvation.
Amen.
That's something you better know, that you know, that you know yourself.
Right.
Amen. And so we need churches just like this. To stay the course doctrinally, to realize the specialness of this place,
yeah.
and the significance of this place, and then we can have revival.
Amen.
There's some things about the church that I want to share with you tonight, and you, some of these things you're already going to know, but the church is a special place because of the people who makes it up.
Right.
Friend, the church is made up not of just ordinary people. The church is made up of people who have been blood-bought by the shed blood of Calvary's Lamb.
Amen, that's right.
Friend, I'll tell you something. You realize it tonight, but you know tonight that you're special. And
yep.
the Bible says that my people are a peculiar people.
Yep.
People look at us a little sideways sometimes, kind of cock their head.
Right.
I mean, I get that all the time. I've had people laugh at me, mock me while I was preaching. I've seen it all, brother.
Amen.
And you know what? I got over that a long time ago.
Right.
I don't really care what they think about me.
Come on, preacher.
Because I ain't going to have to stand before them at
right.
the judgment seat. I'm not going to have to answer for them, but I will answer to him.
That's
and
right.
I'm
Amen.
Tell you something tonight. He said, my people's a peculiar people.
Come on, preacher.
If you look that particular verse up and look that word by a peculiar up right there, you know what it means? It means a special people.
Right.
A set aside people. A called out people. I'm telling you something. This is a special place.
Yep.
Because of the special people that makes it up.
Right.
I'm glad, thank God, it is a whosoever will salvation.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, tonight that I, hey, listen to me. I ain't got a Calvinist bone in my
Come
body.
On, preacher.
I can't even spell Calvinist. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, it wasn't just for some.
Right.
I'm glad it's for all. A-L-L.
Amen.
You know what the definition of all is? It's deep now. You go read it. All.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
all.
Right.
He says, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out.
That's
I'm
right.
I thank God tonight that when he said, whosoever, it meant just that.
Right.
Whosoever. And I'm glad, listen tonight, that we are peculiar. We
Amen.
Are different. And we're supposed to be different. That's what makes the house of God, the church, so special tonight. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
That's not all that makes it special. The church has no equal on earth.
Yeah.
Amen. You realize that? The
yeah.
church has no equal. There's no other. And by the way, I'd like to tell a lot of these organizations,
yeah.
amen, who think they are just as special, and I'll be nice, I won't
Go
preach
ahead,
on
preacher.
That, but I'd like to tell a lot of these organizations who think they are just as special as the church, amen, just really, the church ain't an organization,
right.
it's an organism,
amen,
it is a living, breathing, functioning thing,
right.
it is not something that is organized by man, the church is organized by the living God.
Amen.
That's what
That's
I just
right.
read unto you.
Yep.
Of the house of God, which is the church.
That's right.
Amen. This ain't my church. This ain't your church. This ain't his church. It's God's church.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Woo.
Thank
I love
God.
The church tonight, friend. And can
Amen.
I tell you something tonight, friend? I'm telling you, hey, listen, the church is a special place.
Yes, it is.
For a special people, and it has no equal on earth.
Thank God.
Listen to me.
Thank God.
There's a lot of people. You realize who the church is, right? We are the bride.
Yeah.
We're the bride of Christ.
Yep, that's
Preacher
right.
got talking about the other night. He's got talking about the second coming.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of I-movist churches.
Right.
Amen. Quote, unquote, churches.
Come on, preacher.
Who don't believe in the second coming. How in the world can you pick up a King James Bible and not believe the second coming? This
Amen.
Also, I can tell you, hey, that in the, hey, one of these days in a trumpet, when the trumpet of God sounds in a moment, the twinkle of an eye,
right.
The dead in Christ shall raise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be
yeah.
with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's a special place because it is the bride of the Lord Jesus
That's
Christ.
Right.
And Lord, thank God, I'm glad he said, I go to prepare a place for
come
you.
On, preacher.
And if I go, I will come again. I
Amen.
Receive you unto myself that where I am, there you may be also.
That's right.
I'm glad, thank God, it's a prepared place for a prepared people.
Amen.
Hey, listen to me tonight. This place is special tonight.
Thank God.
It's special.
Yeah.
Special place. You need to realize tonight we need to get a hold of just how significant the church is
yeah.
in our lives. I mean, I got thinking about it this week. I've been mulling it over in my heart and my mind all week. I got thinking about the specialness of the church.
Yeah.
I got saved in the church.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Most of you that's sitting here tonight probably got saved in the church.
Yeah. Amen.
It was the church where you heard the preaching of the word of God.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost come by and convicted your heart of sin.
Yep.
Amen. Let you know you was lost and on your way to hell.
Amen.
And saved your never dying soul from an awful place called hell.
That's right.
It was the church where I got saved. It was the church where I got married. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Special place. It was the church where I stood at the front of the church and before my man of God and heard him repeat those vows to us.
Yeah.
And we repeated them back to him, not only making a covenant and an oath with one another, but making a covenant and an oath with the one that I love.
Amen.
It's a special place.
Yeah.
It's a special place.
Yeah.
It's where we took our baby.
Yeah.
Amen. It's where we dedicated our baby.
That's right.
I'm telling you something. The church is a special place. It holds a significant part of my life. I can't imagine my life without the church. I can't imagine I'm not being able to get up in the morning or in Sunday morning. I'm going to church tomorrow, Lord willing. I'll be in a youth meeting tomorrow evening by 4 o'clock if I make it home. I'll listen to me. And then I'll be in church again Sunday. And I'll probably be in church somewhere next week. That's my life. I love the church. Amen. Thank God for the church tonight.
Amen.
It's a special place.
Yep.
It is a significant place.
Thank God.
That word significant it's important. It's a cherished place. Listen, if you don't feel your church is significant, you ain't doing something right.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
You ought to anticipate the next service.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what happens. When we anticipate the next service, we'll pray about it.
Yep, that's right.
Amen. When we anticipate the next service, you know what revival will do? Revival will stir you up.
Yeah.
And I believe some of you have been stirred this week. I hope you have.
Amen.
I hope more than your emotions has been stirred.
Right.
I pray that your spirit has been stirred.
Right.
And you'll anticipate the next service.
Yeah.
I pray you come in here Sunday morning. Now, this is what usually happens. Sometimes on Sunday morning around our place, they'll get all spiritual, you know. They'll get to shouting while we're in the choir. And then that next thing you know, somebody will be testifying. The altars will fill up. And somebody else will testify. And somebody else will sing. Somebody else will testify. You know, I don't know what to call it down here, but up in the mountains, we call it when the big preacher moves in.
Right, right.
Amen. Amen. I just sit over there and grin. Amen.
Amen.
I might as well keep my hands out. I mean, no need of me messing it up. I just watch him work.
Yeah.
I sit up there and not said a thing and just watch the Spirit of God move throughout the services and
right.
One right after the other come to the altar and folks get saved and folks get helped and then folks sing songs and all kinds of stuff. And then I think, boy, we'll come back tonight. Boy, they ain't no telling what's going to happen tonight. I go back Sunday night. I'm fired up, charged up, ready to preach. Everybody sitting there. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the way it happens a lot of times in revival. You're tired physically. You've been here all week. If you hadn't been here all week, you've tried to make it all week, and you're tired physically. Then that Sunday morning, your preacher come in. And I tell you, there's three things that'll make your preacher want to preach. That's a man who can, a man who can't, and a woman trying to.
Preach, preacher. Preach, amen. Preacher.
I'm glad you amen me.
Preach, preacher.
Amen. No, seriously. Listen, I can't preach, but I'll tell you one thing. He'll be wanting to when he gets here Sunday.
Come on, preacher.
If you'll anticipate Sunday morning, I guarantee you he's going to do some preaching because it's been built. I've been watching. He's been dying to preach the last two or three nights.
Yeah.
I've been watching. He's about to bust already. There ain't no telling what kind of preaching you hear this coming Sunday. So if you'll anticipate the service, listen, this is how you do that. You understand the specialness of this place. Yeah. It's a place to go when you're hurting. Amen. I told some of my church, they said, well, preacher, you know, if I can get over this, I'll come back to church. Mm-hmm. I said, no, that ain't the way it works.
Right.
I said, go to church, that's where you get over it.
Mm-hmm.
But preacher, he hurt my feelings. Go on to church, you'll get over it.
Yeah.
But preacher, she said something mean and it broke my heart. Go on to church. That's where you'll get over it. But preacher, you don't understand. People don't talk to me. Go on to church and let the Lord talk to you. That's the only one that matters anyway. But preacher, I see them over in the corner. And they's probably talking about me. That's the devil whispering in your ear. Oh, yes, friend.
Amen.
Hey, listen to me. That is the devil whispering in your ear trying to discourage you. And by the way, the devil's going to do everything he can. He can't have your soul if you're saved. So he'll do everything he can to distract you from living for him.
Amen.
You know why? Because your life living for him will lead others to him.
Right. Amen. That's right.
He don't want that. The specialness of this place. Very special place. Don't let the devil divide it. Don't let him disrupt it. Don't let him destroy it. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something right now. After a meeting like this, you might as well get your guard up.
Yep. Amen.
You know all those all over in Ephesians 6? You know those fiery darts of the wicked?
Yeah.
You better be clothed. You better have all the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. You better have your shoes, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Yep.
Hey man, you better have on the whole armor of God, friend, because I'm telling you, and I ain't trying to scare you, and I'm not trying to discourage you, but you mark her down what this preacher said. The devil does, has not, and will not set by and just let a move of God that's happened this week go by without trying to disrupt it. That's
sure.
What he does.
Amen.
He He's been a disruptor of the church from the beginning.
Yeah. Amen.
He has tried. Listen to me. He worked on Peter. What makes you think he won't work on you?
Right.
He's worked on everybody in the Bible. He worked on David. He worked on Moses. He worked on Noah. He worked on everybody in the Bible.
Right.
He worked on poor old Lot. And the Bible said Lot vexed his righteous soul. Amen. That's what the Bible says, right?
Yep. Amen.
Tell you something. You better be careful. He's coming. Make no doubt about it. But if you don't realize the significance of the church, you'll leave the door wide open.
Yeah.
This is where you get that help.
Yep.
This, listen to me. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this present world.
Yeah.
So you understand that we are in a battle. We're not only in a battle with ourselves. The Bible tells us that the flesh wars against spirit, spirit against the flesh.
Right.
We're in a battle every day with our own selves.
Yeah.
But not only that, we wrestle those principalities and those powers.
Yeah.
That, you know who the prince and the power of the air is? It's the devil.
Right.
That's who it is. And the Bible says this about the devil. That he walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yep.
Also says this, child of God, that we are not ignorant of his devices.
Yeah. That's right.
We know how he works. I'm going to tell you how he works real quick and I'm going to move on. The devil hasn't changed his tactics.
Right.
The same things that he uses on me and you is the same things that he used on Adam and Eve in the garden.
Right.
Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life.
Amen.
Those three simple little things. If he can get you looking at something else long enough, you'll look that direction, you'll long and lust after it.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? And your stinking pride and my stinking pride, if we ain't careful, will follow what we looked at, lusted at, longed for. You know what? That's the same way it happened with Lot.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Lot looked towards the well-watered plains of Sodom.
Yeah.
He looked that way first. He seen that it was good for cattle. He seen that it was well-watered.
Yeah.
He seen it was a fertile land.
Yeah.
And he looked that way. And when he looked that way, it wasn't long that he moved that way.
Yeah.
And when he got down there, he lingered down there.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you see Lot from leaving Abraham, the promises of God.
Yeah.
He could have went midway and stopped. He didn't have to end up in Sodom.
Right.
But he looked too long, and he lingered too long around that place. Next time you find Lot, he's in the gates of Sodom. And we all know what happened then.
Right.
His family was destroyed. They seen things and witnessed things in Sodom they never got out of their mind, brother.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. How do you get that? Listen, it's easy. And God forbid, I want you to understand, I'm trying to make an illustration. But me and Scott got in a fight. And it's just me and him one-on-one. I might be able to hold my own for a few minutes. He's way younger than me and he'd wear me out. But I'll tell you something. If he got three or four of you behind him, I ain't got a chance.
Right.
I'll tell you something. I ain't no match for the devil.
Yeah.
And you ain't either.
Amen.
Are you listening to
me? Come on, preacher.
I'm telling you the specialness of this place. You don't have to fight your battles long. You know what you can do Sunday morning? You might fight a battle tomorrow. But you know what you can do Sunday morning? You can come in here and tell your man of God, preacher, you wouldn't believe what I fought yesterday.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe what I fought last night. You won't believe what I fought this morning.
Yeah.
I need the church to pray for me.
Come on, preacher.
Hey, man, that's some of the best services I've ever been in. Brother, there's going to be times, you know, it ain't going to be easy.
Yeah.
There's going to be some struggles.
Yeah.
But you know what you can do? You got a church you can come to.
Amen.
Hey, y'all, ladies, it ain't going to be easy. There's going to be a time that you're going to need your church.
Yeah.
You're going to need your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And some of the best service I've been in was when people come in and they was tired and they was broke down and they said, preacher, I can't do this alone. And they come to the altar and I watch that church. I just get around them and flood them, start putting their hands on them and praying over them. And the next thing you know, you see them go down broken and you see them go down burdened. And the next thing you know, they come up blessed.
Yep.
They come up helped. And they
Amen.
Come up with some hope. That's what the church is for.
That's right. Amen.
The significance of this place. That, listen to me. You can't say too much about the specialness of the church.
Yeah.
It's so, so very special tonight. It's If our little finite minds could comprehend how special this place is. I want to ask you just a question. I'm trying to move on. I've been burdened every night about every message, but I've been burdened for 4 nights about this message. Since Monday night, I've been burdened. And I want to tell you something. If our little finite minds could understand what God does inside these walls, how many times have you come in here and you didn't know how you was going to make it next week? And God give that man right there exactly what you need. And him preach the message exactly what you need. And you're sitting there thinking, man, has he been getting my mail out of my mailbox? Huh? You're sitting there thinking, how did he know that about me? That's what the Holy Ghost does. And you leave here encouraged. You leave here helped. You leave here convicted. And by the way, can I say this? I believe convicted is the best way to leave.
Amen.
Because when we leave convicted, you know what we'll do? We'll do something about the situation that we're in.
Yeah.
Thank God for conviction. Thank God for Holy Ghost conviction. And I'm talking about that kind of conviction that you can't sleep at night. You can't, you wrestle with it in your mind. Amen. You can't get no peace till God, the Holy Ghost, removes that burden. That's the kind of conviction I'm talking about.
Amen.
I mean, I'm talking about the conviction before you got saved.
Yeah.
About your salvation. That kind of conviction. I love that kind of conviction.
Amen.
But I like conviction for the child of God, too. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God for this place.
Amen.
Thank God for the significance and the specialness of this place. Listen, you know this? Revival always comes to the church.
Yep. Amen.
There's a lot of people out there saying, oh, we need revival. We need revival. We need to have a tent meeting. We have to do that. And they ain't got nothing against tent meetings. I told you the other night, 2015, y'all were there. You've seen it firsthand. 5 weeks of meeting. 5 weeks. I've seen God do things that I've seen God do things I can't even tell you what I see. It's unbelievable. But I'll tell you something. It wasn't done outside the church.
Right.
It was done because some local churches, like-minded local churches, put their hearts and their minds and their money together, amen, and prayed and got a hold of God, and God did something special.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be something? Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
This ain't in my notes. But wouldn't it be something to have a reverse the curse camp meeting down here in Eastern North Carolina?
Amen.
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 Somewhere about halfway in between Down East Baptist Church and Swan Quarter, North Carolina.
Amen.
Amen. Some churches with a mind to work.
Yeah.
And a mind to serve together and love together and work together, put their...
Amen.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, yes.
Amen. And make something, I mean, something unusual.
Yeah.
Something, I mean, you know what we need? We need to see some unusual things.
Yeah, we do. Amen.
You won't see them sitting at the house.
That's right. Amen.
You won't see them at the ball game.
Right.
You won't see them at Walmart. You'll see some things at Walmart, but it probably won't be there.
Amen.
I don't even like going there. Amen. You'll see some stuff out in this world, but it ain't going to be no help to you.
Yep.
Amen. But I'm telling you something. There's something significant about this place. There's something special about this place. God has always sent revival through the church, through the local church. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. If we ever have revival in this country again, it'll come through the church.
Amen.
Can I tell you something down east? Can I tell you something tonight? If your county and your communities have revival, it'll come through this church.
Amen.
It'll come through you. God will not work outside of the bounds of the church. He just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the way it works. Thank God for the church. I'm trying. Bible says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest, Paul talking to Timothy here, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself, how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Can I talk to you about that? That just one, the living God.
Yeah.
I mean, listen to me. I already said it. I'm going to give you these things. You ought to write them down. Number one, he works through the church. I already covered that.
Yeah.
But number two, he warns through the church.
Yeah.
I want you to listen. God, listen, last night, what I preached on last night, go not down to Egypt.
Right.
That's a warning to the church.
Yep.
God always uses the church to warn us where not to go, what not to touch. And that reminds me of my second point. Not only the specialness of this place, but the separation of this place.
Yeah.
Listen, I quoted the verse the other night. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Amen.
The Bible, listen, the Bible is a holy book.
Yeah.
God is a holy God.
That's right. Amen.
It's a holy book. Holy God. You know what he tells us? He said, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. That ain't a suggestion.
Right. Amen.
That is a command. That is not a suggestion.
Right.
And you said, well, preacher, if I live holy, if I live righteous, people are going to look at me funny. They're going to talk about me. They're going to laugh at me. Who cares?
Right.
Because I got news for you. They're going to look at you funny anyhow.
Yep. Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah. Amen.
They're going to look at you funny. They're going to talk about you. People are going to talk anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to talk. Yeah. People just talk. Mm-hmm. Some people talk to hear themselves talk. Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Because ain't nobody listening to them no way, because they know all they're going to do is talk.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. They're going to talk. It don't matter what you do, so you might as well do what the Lord wants you to do and be pleasing to Him.
Right.
Because in the end, that's all that's going to matter anyway.
Amen.
That's all that's going to matter. Let them talk. Amen. Let them talk. When they're talking about you, they're letting somebody else rest.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Give them a break.
Amen.
So He not only works through the church, but God warns through the church. He'll give that man exactly what, and listen, sometimes you might think, well, he's talking just directly to me. Sure, he's talking just directly to you. But it ain't because he knows what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you right here now. I'm going to tell you something that your preacher ain't going to tell you. My wife's sitting there, and she'll tell you, 24 years of pastoring churches, I thought, well, you know, over the years, we've tried it several times. Now, I want you to get me wrong. All my church members I love. I love them. And all my church members, I consider them friends. I do. But I can't hang out with them.
Yeah.
I can't. We found that out the hard way. I'm going to tell you something about your pastor and his wife. Sometimes they're the loneliest people on God's green planet. You don't know it. Well, preacher, he's got all kinds of friends. You think? Where are they at tonight?
Come on, preacher.
Preacher? Why, she's got all kinds of friends. Really? Ask her. Ask her how many's called her this week. Mm. And ask her how the revival's going at her church.
Mm.
Come on, don't die on me now.
Come on, preacher.
I'm telling you, I ain't got no sad stories. I would do it all again. The only thing I would do different, preacher, is I wouldn't run for 3 years like I ran.
Yeah.
I'd have started preaching right when God called me. Because
yeah.
I wasted 3 years.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
It's a lonely place.
Yeah.
I found this out. If you try to be friends with your church folks and you hang out with them, and then God lays a message on your heart, and you... I've done it so many times. I didn't have a clue that was going on in their life.
Right.
I get up, preach on some particular sin, and I like to call it by name because that's what the Bible does, right?
Right. Amen.
And I get up, preach on sin, and preach on maybe a particular sin, start calling it by name. Next thing you know, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thought you was my friend.
Yeah.
I am your friend.
Yeah.
Well, how come you got up there and preached on that? How come you're doing it?
Amen. Amen.
Because I didn't know you was doing it. I'm just preaching what the Lord's laid on my heart.
Right.
Listen, that man and that lady right there, I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee you. I don't know them, hardly know them at all, but I guarantee you, if you talk to them, they're lonely. And it hurts. You hear me? It hurts. Sometimes they feel like they ain't got no friends. Sometimes they feel like nobody cares. All the effort, all the work, all the studying, all the night spent praying for your family and neglecting their own family. I'm going to tell you girls something. You listening? Don't get bitter. It gets better. Your daddy, mommy, you're going to have to share them. Preacher, I'm going to preach if it takes me to 10 o'clock tonight, okay?
Go ahead, preacher.
You're going to have to share them with all these other people. And it ain't going to be easy sometimes. But your mom and daddy loves you. They love you. And the church loves you.
That's right.
He's got a big job. Important job. She's got a big job. An important job. Things you ain't going to understand. So, preacher, why are you telling us that? Because when my boy was about 12 years old, he would stand up and testify with the anointing of God on his life. He would preach like his dad did. He would stand up and testify. We had one of those services one morning. First church I pastored wasn't an easy church. They were not easy people to deal with, but we loved them. On the way home, we were talking about how good church was that day. That particular day was one of those days when my son stood up and testified in the glory. Are you listening to me?
Go ahead, preacher.
And what I said to him, preacher, I don't know if it's the right thing to say. And all I said is I wasn't trying to call him to preach. God knows I wasn't. But all I said to him was this. I said, son, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. I said, if he calls you to do something, do it. Don't wait like your daddy did. And my wife's sitting right there, and she'll tell you, if she'll verify what I'm fixing to tell you. He said something that ripped my heart out of my chest. He said, Daddy, I sure hope he don't call me to preach. I nearly stopped the car in the middle of the road and I said, son, why would you say that? And this is what he said when he was about 11 or 12 year old, maybe 13. He said, Daddy, because I seen the way they treat you. And I won't never be treated that way. My son's 37 year old, almost 36 year old. I've maybe heard him testify. I can count on one hand, brother, how many times I've heard him testify since his teenage years. Girls, don't let it make you bitter.
Come on, preacher.
Preachers, don't let it make you bitter. Don't let it make you bitter, preacher. It gets better. My boy's faithful. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, youth meeting, they're there. But he's not the same.
Yeah.
As he was. You know what I find myself praying? God, just do something in his heart again.
Yeah.
Like you did when he was young.
Yeah.
But his guard's up now.
Oh, yeah.
The church is a special place. And I'm warning you tonight, it's a place to be warned. But it's also a place where sometimes it gets very hard.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to understand the significance of it to be able to stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you'll never stay.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll never make it. Don't you hear, preacher, I'm not trying to hurt you, church.
You're right.
I'm trying to help you. You better pray for him.
Because it gets lonely.
And it gets hard. And he won't ever say nothing about it. And a lot of times you won't ever know it. But there'll be some sleepless nights. And he'll need you to pray just like he prays for you. God warns the church. He walks with the church. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to me. If I walk anywhere, I'm walking with my bride.
Yeah. Amen.
Listen, I lost my identity when I got married.
Yeah.
Amen? It wasn't David no more. It's David and Margie.
Right.
If you've seen one of us, you've seen both of us.
Yeah.
It's just the way we are. Hello?
Yeah. Amen.
If I go preach somewhere, it almost every time,
yeah,
she's with me. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
David and Margie. It ain't David no more.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't think he don't walk with his bride?
Come on, preacher.
You know why he does? Because he loves her.
Ah, yes.
He cherishes her. And he's looking forward to the day, amen, that he gets to call her home.
Amen.
Just as much as we're looking for the day to be with him, I believe with all my heart, preacher, he's looking for the day to be with us.
Yep. Amen.
I've heard a lot of people say this, and I've even said it myself. Well, if the Lord tarries, the Lord ain't going to tarry.
That's right.
Amen. Matter of fact, I believe he slid up on the edge of the seat.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Tonight, yep. Amen, just waiting, looking over at the Father saying, now,
yeah.
Now,
yeah.
And there's going to be an instant,
yep,
that fast.
That's right.
When the Father's going to look at the Son and say, go get her.
Amen.
And it ain't going to be, oh, let's wait. No, sir. He's going to go.
Amen.
Amen. And that fast, we're out, yep, here.
Yeah.
Listen, he walks with the church. He works through the church. He warns the church. He walks through the church. And I say this, he does wonders through the church.
Amen.
We heard him last night.
Yeah.
This dear lady testified. Your mom testified. That young lady testified. Yeah. Brennan testified last night. Where his life could have been if it was not for the Lord doing what he did in his daddy's life.
Amen.
Testimony. We heard your preacher's wife testify last night of the goodness of God in her life. Are you listening to me? You know what that is? Listen, you won't get that anywhere else but in this place. It's a significant place because of the separation in this place. We're not like the world. We're not supposed to be like the world.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I know what people say. Preacher, well, I don't know why we can't have us a rock and roll band and all them colored lights and stuff. I got to think about that one time. You see now all them colored lights over the stage, all them purple and pink and all them other colored lights. I got to think about that. And preacher, I thought, where have I seen that before? I had to do a funeral that week. And I went down to the funeral home, and over top of that body, that dead corpse, was all kind of colored lights trying to make it look good.
Right.
And then it dawned on me. I think I know why all them colored lights. Listen, if that's all you got is colored lights and a rock and roll band.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can make a corpse look pretty good if you put some colored lights on.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in nothing dead. I'm interested in what's alive.
Amen, preacher.
And I said, well, a goal, this is not an organization. It is a living organism.
That's right. Amen.
And this book, it's not dead, it's alive. You know why? Because it's got blood that runs through it from Genesis to Revelation.
That's right. Amen.
Yep.
That's good preaching.
Listen, it's a bloody book.
Yeah.
They can try to change it. They can try to cancel it. It's been tried for years.
It'll right.
It'll stand when the world's on fire. It'll still be here.
Amen. Yep. That's right.
It'll still be here. It'll still be Amen. It'll still be here and the church will be gone.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And there'll be people thinking, boy, I should have believed what the church said.
Right.
Amen.
Listen to me. It's a significant place because of the specialness, because of the separation. I'm going to say this. It's a special place, but it's a significant place because of the support. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Notice what he said, the pillar and the ground of truth.
Oh, yeah.
I looked that word pillar up. It means stubs or a column designed to support a building.
Right.
It's the support.
Yeah.
You know what the church is going to be in your life? It's going to be the support that you need.
Right.
Till you leave this life.
That's good preaching.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
That's that, exactly
by the way,
right.
And I'll just go ahead and give you this. The ground is talking about the bulwarks or the support or the foundation.
Yeah. Amen.
Brother Brandon mentioned last night, he asked me what I preach on Tuesday night or on Wednesday night, and I told him I preach Isaiah 41:10. He said, have you ever sung that song, How Firm a Foundation? I said, yeah. He said, you know, part of that verse is in that song. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I preached a message out of Isaiah 41:10, and he said, I used the song in the message because it's got part of that verse. And I like scriptural songs.
Amen? Yeah, amen.
And sure enough, he grabbed on them redback hymnals, and sure enough, part of that verse, I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Amen? How firm a foundation. And I want to tell you something. The church, I'm telling you, everything is built off the church.
Right.
Spiritually.
Yep.
Scripturally.
Yep.
You cannot operate. You cannot. Listen, your family, this country ain't going to make it without the church.
That's right. Amen.
Preacher, why is it important we have revival? Why is it important? It's important because of the significance of the church.
Yeah.
I don't believe, preacher, we understand.
Right.
Really how important the church is.
Yeah.
Any of you ever been out west? You ever been out west?
Yeah.
You get out west, the further west you go, the more desolate it gets.
Yeah.
You'll see some Catholic churches. You'll see some Episcopal, a few Presbyterians. Once in a while, you'll stumble across a church plant.
Yeah.
But they're usually hundreds of miles apart.
Yeah.
Hundreds of miles apart. That is preaching the Word of God. Just get around them people a little bit. You can look in their eyes and you see the hopelessness.
Yeah.
And preacher, don't get me wrong, we've got missionaries all over this world.
Yeah.
Our church supports 55 missionaries. They're everywhere. But about 10 years ago, the Lord burned my heart to start supporting home missions.
Yeah.
And what I mean by home missions is missionaries inside the United States.
Yeah. Amen.
I was in Utah last year in May. About everybody I seen, we drove down in Salt Lake City, Utah. Everybody had a tie, I mean, suit and tie on. They was dressed nice, modest. I'm telling you, they wouldn't nobody run around down there half naked.
Right.
We went into one little slum. We went out door knocking. We was helping start a church, get a church started, worked on the church all day, cleaned it up, got ready. Their first church service was going to be that Sunday. Went out, paid about 1,000 straight, knocked on every door in that community. One little slum. I mean, clean neighborhoods. Everything's uniform. They're Mormons.
Yeah.
They'd be people that lived on this side of the interstate and people lived on this side of the interstate. They could be related. If your daddy lived on this side of the interstate and you lived over here and you wanted to go church your daddy, you couldn't.
Yeah.
Because they have churches.
Right.
That they, are you listening to me?
Yeah, districts.
And they're convinced they're right.
Yeah, they are.
They carry King James Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're morally good.
Yeah.
But they don't know the same. Listen to me.
Amen.
Give a little girl a King James Bible. Big tears start running down her eyes. Go to some verses. It's not his will that any should perish.
Right.
Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. Big tears go streaming down her face.
Yeah.
I can't. Their family will disown them.
Yep. They will.
Now we're supporting about 4 or 5 missionaries in Utah.
Yeah.
That's got independent, fundamental, King James Bible preaching churches in those little communities.
Yep.
And the goal is to get an independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church in those communities to preach the Word of God.
Right.
Why, preacher? Because it's significant.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Those people need a church.
Amen.
They need a church. That's why you support missionaries.
Yeah.
If we fully understood the significance of this place, you know what, every one of us, including myself, would be in this altar tonight begging God to send a revival like He's never sent before.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have it, if we do not have it, the future of our children, our grandchildren, the future, listen, I don't know if you even realize it or not, the future of the church in this nation is being challenged as we speak.
Yep. Amen.
They don't want people preaching like your preacher preaches.
Yeah.
They don't want, listen to me, they hate that Bible.
Yeah.
They hate us. They hate what we stand for. You know why they do that? Because they cannot do their wickedness in the day.
Right.
They still have to operate in the night.
Amen. That's
but
right.
I'm telling you, you notice how much more we're seeing in the day?
Yeah.
In the light?
Yep.
That ought to wake us up, church. I'm going to give you something. I'm done. Listen. It's the foundation. Several years ago, a preacher shared this with me. And I'm going to share it with you tonight. He sent me this. It's questions to ask yourself before you start complaining about your church. Number one, if the church service depended solely on my worship, how full of worship would the service be? Number two, if the church had to depend solely on my faithfulness, how faithful would my church be? Number three, if the church had to survive solely on my prayer life, how much prayer would be going on? Number four, if the church could only go as deep as my relationship goes with God, how deep would my church be? The next question, if we had to make it on my Bible reading and knowledge, how knowledgeable would my church be? If we have to go by my offerings, how big would the church outreach be? If the preaching depended solely on my response to the preaching and the altar call, how responsive would my church be? If it all depended on me, what would happen? I think those are very valid questions when we start thinking about the significance of the church. It's that important.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I want you to do something with me tonight. And I'm not trying to be super spiritual or nothing like that. I want you just, where you're at, just close your eyes, just bow your heads.